Hello, my name is Andy Miller, and I'm the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary based in Ridgeland, Mississippi. We are developing trusted leaders for faithful churches, and we do that based in the authority of Scripture and in the reality that Christians can be transformed. We do that also through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees. We'd love for you to learn more about Wesley Biblical Seminary at wbs.edu, where we're developing trusted leaders for faithful churches.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network on this Monday, July the 14th, 2025. I hope you had a nice weekend, and we are ready for, I hope you're prepared for another week of bad news, ladies and gentlemen. No, we got some good news, too. It's always a mix, right? But joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Yes, that was my coarse and irritating laughter in the background.
I said bad news.
Yeah, welcome to another week of bad news.
A little sarcastic laugh there. And Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. I'm the one that has to deliver this.
I know. We have our what we call show prep meeting, which is, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do prepare for this hour and a half each morning about 8:15 or 8:30 here at our offices. And we always... I always say, can we have some good news?
You know, right.
Can we have some, and we will have some good news, but unfortunately, the fallen world that we live in, bad things happen, and we have to talk about them and report them. We got a very sad incident. Situation.
Out of Fall River, Massachusetts. I think it's about 50 miles from Boston. There's an assisted living facility there called Gabriel House. At about 9:50 last night, firefighters responded to a call there. And when they got there, this facility was in flames. And I, if you go to AFN.net, you will see a picture of this facility because it plays into this story because it's about a three-story building. This building was in flames when firefighters got there. There were people even hanging out of windows saying, help me, help me. By the time they got the fire under control, 9 of the residents there were dead, and there are about 30 that are still being treated. We don't know what caused this fire yet, but, you know, these assisted living facilities... And it isn't always senior citizens that live in these areas. Sometimes it's disabled people. So we're not sure how that all breaks down in this particular place. But very tragic story. And firefighters did their very best. But the fire was well established by the time they got there around 10 o'clock last night.
And I'm looking at a story from AFN.net, American Family News, AFN.net. Good story covering this. There were about 50 firefighters that responded, it said, including 30 who were off duty. So this was one of those things that was kind of an all hands on deck, and they did the best that they could. And some of those who were rescued, I guess, taken to different hospitals. But sometimes, like you said, a fire that's well established, it's unsafe for firefighters to go in, and it's a terrible way to die, especially if some of these people who perished, you know, were, you know, confused, didn't know what was happening. But
tough thing to listen. Also, what complicated the matter, I'm sure, was a multi-layer building. I mean, multi-story building. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And a lot of these folks, we're all familiar with assisted living places, and. For the most part, the people can get around, but they're older and they can't move fast. But there are some that have to have walkers and
And it's at night, so you're not going to have your full staff trying to help people get out. If there's a lot of smoke, people, even if you're young, it's easy to get confused about where you're located, and people might get into closets. It's just a terrible thing.
You know what our country is going to face, and of course this is true of Canada too, Fred, but and other parts. Our country is going to face a big issue, and is facing now, but going to in the next 10 to 20 years. Care for the elderly is going to be a massive challenge.
Yes.
Problem. And I'm not looking at you guys because you're elderly. I'm looking at you guys because you're 10 years away from being called that.
I wish I was 10 years away from being called that.
Well, you're called elderly,
yeah.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, like the other day I was reading about a nursing home facility, like going bankrupt. Well, okay, what happens then? You know, let's say you got 100 people in a nursing facility that goes bankrupt. What do you do?
Do something with them.
Most of the times, if you have an apartment or you have something, you can evict people, but you can't evict.
Well, you will. There'll be no place to take care
of them. If the bank, yeah, what happens?
Family members have to find alternatives.
So how do you guard against that happening? You know, going bankrupt, because oftentimes these places are run by companies.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And it's a business.
It's a business, and if the business goes under, then what do you do with the citizens, the people who are in there, and they can't. Easily move out. They don't know where to go, what to do. I'm just saying it's going to be not just a bankruptcy. That was worst case scenario, but I'm talking about just care for people who is going to become a real.
Because our population is growing, aging. The aging, the aged group is growing in size because subsequent generations. And like you said, this is true around the West. It is true in China. People have stopped having sufficient number of kids to make the elderly age bracket no different than any other age bracket.
Right.
So.
All right. Well, this is a very sad story out of Massachusetts, you say, Fred?
Yes, out of Fall River, Massachusetts.
A fire killing 9 people at a senior.
30 injured.
Yes.
30 injured.
More information, by the way, if you check out American Family News, AFN.net, you can find that story there.
All right. Go ahead.
Also on American Family News, another sad story, and this is from yesterday in Lexington, Kentucky. A suspect killed 2 women at a Kentucky church after shooting a state trooper. Let me try to unfold the story a little bit. Yesterday morning, a state trooper at the Lexington's airport, for some reason, was suspicious of a car, took down the license tag, license plate, somebody call it. It brought up a warning. He confronted the guy driving this car. The guy opened fire on the state trooper. The trooper was injured. He's undergone treatment for that wound. The guy takes off. He carjacked another car, takes off, and heads toward a church, Richmond Road Baptist Church. And again, if you go to AFN.net, you'll see a picture of this church. It's a little church in the country. And this guy enters the church. What we do know now at this point, he was looking for the mother of his 3 children. And what the Associated Press and other media are reporting at this hour is he confronted a couple of women. I think they were downstairs getting a meal ready or something like that. And he asked where his wife was, where this woman was. They told this man, she is not here. And he replied, well, somebody has to die today. And he opened fire. And in doing that, he killed a 72-year-old woman and a 32-year-old woman and injured several others. I'm not sure how the police were alerted to this, tracked this guy to the church, and they took this guy out. They shot and they killed him. So, like I say, a very small church. The way the press is describing it, kind of a lot of family members at this church, very close-knit congregation. But apparently he was looking for the mother of his three children. They weren't there. This guy, now deceased, as I mentioned, was well known to police. In fact, one report says he was due in court today for another charge. But just open fire. He was apparently said, I can't kill the mother of my children. I'm going to kill somebody.
And then the police, again, the story on American Family News, this church was about 16 miles away from where the trooper was shot. Yep. I guess that was, you said, at the airport.
Yep.
And they were able to track his vehicle, I don't know, maybe with a drone or a helicopter or what have you, but they were able to, because they must have arrived at the church pretty quickly. Yes. After he had opened fire. Mm-hmm. And then he was killed as well.
So it wasn't a, he didn't go into the church looking to kill Christians.
No, there's no indication of that.
Right.
Yet.
Right. It was a situation, what do you call it, a domestic dispute, so to speak? Well, I don't, that's probably not the way to say it. It was a, he was looking for his wife or his ex-wife?
Well, the mother, there's being described as the mother of his three children.
Okay. So he was angry at her for some reason.
For some reason.
He was, had a gun and shot at. Yeah, you shoot a highway patrolman, you're going to have, everybody's going to be after you.
Right.
So they chased him down, but got there too late to save those ladies. Oh. Most churches now have security teams.
Yeah, this was a small church, so maybe they weren't able to have that. But a lot of churches, especially of any size, have people trained. And in our state, where our headquarters is located, Mississippi, the headquarters of American Family Radio and American Family Association, you have protections if you have a church security team, as long as they have been sufficiently trained. So people are undergoing training. And there are, always people in red states, especially, who have concealed carry or enhanced carry licenses, and then they do additional training for hostile intruders.
But, even so, with security teams and training, there are some things you can't stop.
Right.
You just can't. And if you got a small country church, they don't have two guys out front
right.
doing a body check of everybody that comes in. So somebody runs in and, you know what I'm saying?
And anytime people, even with a security team, anytime you open fire in a church, bystanders, innocent bystanders.
Who's shooting who?
Yeah.
You got a question?
It's a terrible thing that we have to have security teams in churches.
Right, I know.
This is a fairly recent development over the last 10 or 20 years, but it's life right now.
Well, any place that you have people that are sitting ducks.
Yes.
You got to think about security.
Oh, let me just give you an example. Okay, now I have an enhanced carry and carry a weapon.
Is it enhanced?
It's enhanced carry license. Okay. The weapon's not
enhanced.
Tell
people what that means.
Okay, so.
As opposed to just a carry weapon.
Yeah, so there's concealed carry, and this differs from state to state, and enhanced carry. Mm-hmm. I had to go through a course, an 8-hour course in training to get that. But my daughter and I went to the movies Saturday, okay? And the movie theater, I'm not going to name it. It's,
right.
They have the right to do. You can't carry your weapon inside, okay? And that kind of bothered me, because you go into that movie theater, you are a sitting duck. And, and my mind thinks that way now. When we go into the movie theater, I look to check for where the exits are and how would we get out. And there's only one way into that to that particular theater. And we were up, halfway up where we were seated, and there's no exit in the back. So you start thinking about being sitting ducks. And it's terrible that you have to think about that. But
mm-hmm. But you know what? You could just as easily go out in the parking lot and be shot at.
That's true.
I'm just saying you can't escape everything.
Right.
But you can be as safe as. I do agree with armed security at a church because, yeah. I mean, in today's world, yeah. And any place, well, even a movie theater is going to have a security guard, and they're going to have a uniform security guard. That person couldn't necessarily stop. There's no metal detectors. Right. That person couldn't necessarily. But it is a visible physical psychological deterrent to people who might want to get violent.
Yes, I left my weapon in the car because they had they was posted no weapons inside.
Right.
But someone who's going to come in and commit a crime is not going to follow the rules.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. Anyway, so that happened in Kentucky. That's in the Lexington area?
Yes, sir. Yep.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve Paisley, Jordahl, will be along later. But Fred Jackson's in with us. Fred's news director for American Family News. Next story, Fred.
Well, let's give an update on what's happening with the recovery going on in Texas due to the horrific flooding there just over a week ago now. They had to pause the search on the weekend because they had more heavy rain in the area. At the moment, they're saying about 130 people have died. And
haven't been found?
No. There's 160 people still missing. There's 130 people
accounted for,
confirmed
dead. Okay,
160 people still missing.
Yes. That's what they're saying this morning. Yes, sir.
That is stunning. I don't know how I missed that, but yeah. 160.
Well, it's
the
that
chances of people being alive at this point are. Yeah. What? No, they're not any chances.
I would think, remember last week, the lieutenant governor was saying there was a number to call because maybe some people left the area before that flood occurred, didn't think about maybe calling somebody to say,
right.
You know, because their names were on a list for a cabin or whatever the case may be. But also, we have to remind people the stretch of this Guadalupe River impacted by this is 40, 50 miles long. And most people, I think, listening right now have seen pictures of the level of debris. It looks like a war zone. Huge trees toppled over.
Yeah.
Houses,
yeah.
Cars, you know, all piled on top of one another. So it is going to take, literally, these search teams are going foot by foot trying to get through this debris to discover if perhaps there is a body there. And they're asking people not to try to dig through the mud themselves because there may be bodies there. So it is a gruesome task for these search teams right now, and it's going to take a long time.
They're talking about not even digging through the silt around their own homes.
Correct.
Because people want to clean up after it, but they don't want to make sure that they're not bodies. I was looking up largest death toll in the U.S., by flooding. And I listen, this some horrific floods. The deadliest flood in U.S. history was the 1900 Galveston hurricane, which resulted in approximately 8,000 deaths, and the great flood of 1862 resulted in an estimated 4,000 plus deaths. Because I was curious as to if you add those who are confirmed dead with those who are still missing, you're getting up to 300 and probably over. But apparently that is not here. Hurricane Katrina, nearly 1,400 fatalities. So there have been some real disasters like this.
Where does that river flow to? What's its destination?
I think the Gulf of America. I'm not sure if it gets down that far.
Can you look that up?
I can.
Ed, I'll real look that quick. Up. I'm just curious because
I know some of the, like San Antonio's deep down there in Texas, in southern Texas, and there some of the impact of the flooding was even that far south.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the Guadalupe River start and finish? Let's see.
Come on, Ed. You're slow, man.
Well, I'm going by the the speed of our
faster AI.
Yeah.
Huh?
The Guadalupe River proper flows southeast for 230 miles, eventually draining into San Antonio Bay on the Gulf of Mexico. What in the world's Gulf of America now?
Yes.
So that's where it drains into San Antonio Bay on the Gulf of America, in the Gulf of America.
Mm-hmm.
Into the Gulf.
All right. That's a very sad, tragic story. We're all thinking the same thing. Where are they going to recover these bodies? You know what I'm saying? At what point?
And some may never be recovered.
They may never.
I know the intention. You know, Governor Abbott says we're going to keep searching, but because this river dumps into the Gulf of America, there may be bodies that...
I didn't think about that. Yeah, they may get swept all the way out. Listen, it's one thing for you, for parents, to have lost children, but then you do want some closure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
You want to know.
You'd want to know. You'd want to find your...
Yeah, and bury them with the family.
Right, that kind of thing.
Cemetery or whatever.
Know that they're accounted for.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, San Antonio Bay on the Gulf Coast. Huh. Oh, okay. I'm seeing that now. I never knew that. So you're talking about it runs all the way down through South Texas to Victoria, Texas. We have listeners in Victoria into the bay there. So, but anyway, yeah, Kerrville. That's the town that keeps getting mentioned. That's kind of where the, not too far from where the river starts. The river starts. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Why don't we do this, fellas? Let's take a short time out right here. We'll do take our break a little early and come back. And I don't know. Fred, you got some more negative news for us? Because... I could sure use
He's
that.
Got plenty.
We're going to talk Ukraine and Russia because as we sit here, President Trump is meeting with the UN Secretary General Mark Rutte, and they are announcing the next measures that Trump wants to take with regards to that horrific Ukraine-Russia war, including a threat of more tariffs from President Trump against Russia. So we can talk about that.
Tariffs against who?
Russia.
So we got more tariff talk.
More tariff
talk. It's been a while, Ed.
It's back.
Well, actually, I should say sanctions.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can make it a tariff.
We're good.
We'll work some tariff talk in.
I hadn't slapped anything in a while. Let's slap a tariff somewhere.
We'll be back momentarily.
This June 24th marks 3 years since Roe versus Wade was overturned. But here's what you may not know. Abortion numbers have surged to a 10-year high. The battleground has shifted from the courtroom to our homes. Today, over 60% of abortions happen through the abortion pill, taken in silence, often alone. Preborn Network clinics are standing in the gap, meeting women in their most desperate hour. And here's what they're seeing. Young mothers, terrified and misled, are delivering their babies, tiny, perfectly formed, onto bathroom floors. These precious babies, once called just tissue, now lie lifeless. 11% of these women who take the abortion pill will suffer serious health complications. Countless others carry emotional scars for a lifetime. When you give to Preborn, you're not just saving a baby, you're saving a mother, too. You're giving her hope, financial support, and the truth. Preborn has already rescued over 350,000 babies, but there are so many more who need our help. Your tax-deductible gift makes this mission possible. To donate now, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. And let me make an announcement. You've probably heard our spots here if you listen to American Family Radio, but we are going to the Holy Land for our next tour in March. I'm talking March of 2026. We're going to Israel, and that trip is halfway full already. So if you want to go with us to the Holy Land in March, and you want to know, well, Tim, how much does it cost? Where are we going? What are the what's the itinerary? You know, all those things. Here's where you need to go. WILDMONGroup.com.
Wildman Group.
WILDMONGroup.com. WILDMONGroup.com. If you type WILDMAN group, I can't guarantee you where you go. Okay, so don't call me and say, hey, I went to there and I was offended. Okay, so I don't know.
That's Wildman, M-O-N.
M-O-N, W-I-L-D-M-O-N, group.com. That's where our information is on our Israel trip 2026. Again, we're halfway full, and we'll probably fill up, I'm guessing, by September, maybe October. Just wanted to let people be aware if they want to check that out. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Fred, Ed, and Tim. And you said you got the big news today out of Washington is President Trump's announcement.
Yeah, they're sitting in the Oval Office right now. By they, I mean President Trump, obviously, and UN Secretary General Mark Rutte. And a couple of things that Trump has said already, as we just mentioned before the break, Trump is saying he's giving Putin 50 days for at least a ceasefire, or they're going to be a very, and I'm quoting here, very severe tariffs on Russia if no Ukraine ceasefire deal within 50 days. Now, the reason he has the UN Secretary General there also is that apparently he has announced that the United States will sell, not give, will sell weapons to various NATO countries who in turn will give those weapons to Ukraine. So Trump made it very clear last night when he got back from his weekend off that he made it very clear in talking to reporters. He said, we're not giving these weapons. We're going to make money from this, but it'll be up to those NATO countries to give these. And
so we're going to launder weapons.
I guess so. Patriot missiles, part of the package that is going to end up in Ukraine. Now, Trump says he's, you know, frustrated with Putin, very disappointed in Putin. The spectrum of conversation Trump has had about Putin. You know, I kind of like him, but now the meter goes to I don't like him, very disappointed in him, and issuing.
Do you believe Trump on Russia anymore? And this comes from a guy who is loved most all of what President Trump's done as the CEO of our country. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't believe what Trump says on Russia. I don't know what he believes about Russia because he's all over the map on it.
To be honest, I think what has happened here is that, first of all, President Trump thought he would be able to get reasonable people talking about Putin and Zelensky together. Remember, he said 24 hours I have mm-hmm. this solved. If I'm elected, he thought that both sides wanted to end the fighting, but just didn't have an exit ramp off the war highway. He was going to facilitate a ceasefire however that was going to play out. But I think what has discovered is that Putin wants all of Ukraine. That's the way it looks. He wants all of Ukraine, and he has played President Trump,
right,
pretending to be interested in perhaps making some kind of a deal, all while he's prepped this latest assault into Ukraine. And now President Trump is angry at Putin because he's been played. Well, that's true. So we'll have to wait and see what Putin does. You know, will Putin say, hey, listen, okay, we're going to declare a ceasefire, our troops will stop. And then Putin gets, you know, more ammo, you know, logistics cleaned up, and then he pushes again into Ukraine. I don't know.
What about just okay? What I'm about to say is just I'm just shooting from the hip. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so I know I'm shooting from the hip. By shooting from the hip, I mean I hadn't thought about the consequences of what I'm about to say.
Okay.
So I'm just theorizing here.
Right.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Can we just get a whiteboard up and start with blank ideas here?
Absolutely.
What if Trump were to say, listen, I don't really care what happens to Ukraine, to be honest with you. It's not our country. We don't owe them anything. And if they can't beat Russia, I'm sorry. But we're not getting involved at all, period. Next question. Coming next question. And that way it would end it. Okay. I think he's upsetting a lot of the hardcore MAGA people right now. Do you know any of these people, Ed?
I know some.
You do know some?
Yes, I do.
I do know some.
You do also?
Are they family members, Ed?
They're pretty much the same
okay.
age.
And I have family members,
yes.
too. And my family members talk to your family members.
Yes, on a regular basis.
And they're to the right of you and me. Do you know this?
Yes, I absolutely know this.
You're a moderate, Ed, in your family.
I never thought I was a moderate, but apparently I am.
Anyway, the America First MAGA crowd. I don't say that disparagingly because in many ways I'm a part of it.
Right.
Okay. But I differ some. But they would say any assistance to the Ukraine is a betrayal of Trump's promise not to get us into any foreign wars. And they would say Trump doesn't need to do this, doesn't need to commit anything to Ukraine. And by doing so, you risk mission creep, so to speak.
Right.
Where we say we're staying out, but yet here we do this here, and then we do this here, and we incrementally get ourselves drawn into the war and have to ultimately act on a direct basis. I understand that. But I think if Trump would just say, they're on their own. If NATO can help them if they want, but we don't really care. Well, no, that wouldn't be the right way to say it. We don't feel any responsibility to help out the Ukraine situation.
Right.
I'm sorry they're going through what they're going through, but that's their problem, not ours. What if he said that?
Well, and let me just add just one thing to what you said, because some people may say, well, how in the world, if we're just selling weapons, how in the world could there be mission?
Are we selling weapons or defensive weapons?
Well,
the Patriot missiles that he's talking about is to shoot down.
If we sell weapons to NATO countries that are offensive weapons, then they give them to Ukraine. They're coming from us, but not directly to Ukraine. But here's how mission creep could happen: is let's say we're just selling, longer range offensive missiles, cruise missiles, what have you, to. And we're taking them over to Poland or some other country, and then Poland is going to sell them to Ukraine. And Russia says, well, you know what? The weapons that Ukraine's using against us are at an air base in Poland. We're attacking the air base. And then they attack U.S. Planes that have brought the weapons over there or U.S.
And it's a NATO country.
And it's a NATO country, and boom, we're in a war. Okay, yeah. That's how mission creep could happen. So, listen, there is a spectrum of views on this. There are serious and dedicated isolationists who say the U.S. should pull out of our protective agreements with South Korea, with Taiwan, with Japan, with Israel. And stay out of all these things because 20 years, and this is what I get from talking to younger men who 20 years in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they say, and then what happened? Okay, we lost Afghanistan, and we had that blunder on the part of the Biden administration when they withdrawing. No more of that. No more spilled American blood overseas for interventionism. Okay, then you come across a little bit on the spectrum, and there are people who don't say, well, abandon our allies. No, we want to keep these alliances, Taiwan, Israel, etc., but we don't want to get involved in any more European wars. So stay out of it. Stay out of Ukraine. And then you move over a little bit, and you have people who say, well, we can't be completely isolationist, and the Ukrainians are getting the stuffing beat out of them, okay? That's just a euphemism for dying. And we can at least sell them weapons. And then there are those who say...
What do you say?
I personally am in favor with selling weapons as a way to, as a fulcrum, to apply pressure to Russia.
Somebody's right and wrong here.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I do not want the U.S. to be involved in a war between NATO and Russia, in which case China would probably take advantage of that and attack Taiwan. North Korea might attack South Korea.
Russia has nukes, too.
Yes, they do. You don't really want to have that escalate. I'm not sure what the right answer is. I don't think complete isolationism is the right thing for the U.S. to do, but I don't think we can completely stay out of what's happening in Ukraine.
Barry, what do you think?
Well, the danger is if you don't stop Putin now, what next?
But the Russians have been pathetic in if you believe their press clippings before they took the field. They were supposed to be the New England Patriots going to take on the, I don't know, whoever's...
They wound up being the Dallas Cowboys.
That hurts, Ed. Cowboys
have... I probably shouldn't be making light.
Yeah, we got a lot of Cowboys fans out there, and that was hurtful and unnecessary, too.
Yes.
But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The mighty Russian military was supposed to quash the Ukrainians in a matter of weeks and take over the whole country. That was what everybody thought would happen, mm-hmm. and it didn't happen. Here we are 3 years later or whatever, and they're still in the quagmire, that is the Russians with the Ukrainians. Ukrainians have fought valiantly, whatever you may think of them, as a vast underdog, and a lot of it's been kind of guerrilla warfare where they use drones very effectively to beat back, so to speak, the Russian army. The Russians have called in the poor North Korean soldiers to come over there and be field fodder for those stories about that. The North Korean soldiers, they don't know what they're doing because they have no real life experience in any kind of combat. They've only been trained, you know,
right,
to do basically what do you call it? Goose steps to. I don't know if they do that or not. Anyway, they're a show army, right, for that dictator over there. And then I read a story the other day where Mexicans are being recruited to go to Ukraine, to go to Russia under the guise of being given a job.
Right.
A nice paying job. So they get duped into that. I'm not kidding. You read about this. And then they get over there, and then they get thrown into the army. Mm-hmm. Mexicans, you know, thrown into the Russian army to go to the front line to fight in Ukraine. What I'm saying, Russia is having real problems. Now, Putin's up the ante, so to speak. He has started firing into Kyiv.
Yes, he has.
Directly and killing, I mean, we're not talking about combatants. We're talking about innocent. By innocent, I mean non-combatants.
Civilians.
Civilians in Kyiv, the capital city of the Ukraine. It would be like if Ukraine started just bombing Moscow, mm-hmm. you know, indiscriminately. So it's a mess, and people's lives have been shattered, Russians and the Ukrainians. But everybody thought this would have been over a long, long time ago, and here it isn't. If Trump approves, so you're saying it's going to be, as I use the word laundered, that's a criminal word, I guess. But you're saying President Trump has said, correct me if I'm wrong, Fred, that the U.S. is going to give weapons to NATO countries.
Sell.
Sell.
Sell. Okay. He made that point
And then he's told Zelensky, I guess Trump has told that they'll be delivered to you that way. Is that right?
Well, what he's saying is that NATO has made the commitment then to the weapons they buy from the United States, they are going to turn them over to Zelensky and the Ukrainians.
That's why it sounds like laundering.
Yes.
To your point. Because it sounds like the U.S. is saying, well, we didn't give weapons to Ukraine.
Why is Trump doing this? Why didn't he just sell it to, give it to Ukrainians outright?
Well, I think, for one thing, that Trump wants to say, I'm not giving money away. Maybe Biden kept writing checks all the time. He just wrote checks to the Ukraine.
Okay.
So this way he can say, no, we've stopped spending money on Ukraine. We're selling weapons to NATO. And NATO, remember, the NATO countries just a few weeks ago agreed to increase the amount of money that they're putting into their military effort. I think it went from 1.5% or 2% to 5%. I think that's the way it was.
Except for Spain.
Except for, yeah.
Spain said, we ain't doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're already broke.
It's already part of the package. Here's the one thing. You know, Trump is giving Putin 50 days to respond. That's 2 months. Why would it take 2 months? You know, Russia can continue bombing Kyiv and these communities for another 2 months. Trump says, okay, I'm okay with that. But by the end of 50 days, I want a ceasefire.
Listen, once you get into... Again, I am being critical of President Trump in this regard. So, but he's not an infallible man, because some people get mad when you criticize President Trump. He doesn't know what he believes about this. He's vacillated. He's all over the map. I think he's just going with his gut, because remember, he said, hey, I have this solved in 24 hours. Wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, 24 hours.
24 That's hours.
During the campaign.
And he got in, and now he's being played by Putin. You said play. That's what you said, right?
I think it's clear. That's what Putin's doing.
Yeah, and he doesn't like that. Trump doesn't like being played. But
And by played, I don't mean that President Trump is stupid. I'm saying President Trump was operating in good faith, trying to get Vladimir Putin to operate in good faith to get something, and Putin was pretending like he was operating in good faith but wasn't. So
right, but I'm afraid. So why does Trump give him 50 days to bomb Kyiv? I don't understand the rationale there. I'm not talking about the morality of this whole. We can move on to another. I'm not talking about the morality of this whole issue. So I'm gonna put the morality of it aside. Okay. Yeah. Whether you should try to help defend innocent people from being slaughtered. Is that a moral issue that Americans need to care about if it's happening on the other side of the world? Maybe there's no right and wrong
and
answer there.
And if we say yes, do we go outside of Ukraine and do the same
thing? That's right. It's not an easy answer. Right. It's not an easy question to answer. However, I would say Trump would do a lot better by just saying what I said earlier. Listen, I'm sorry Ukraine's being bombed, but it ain't our fight. And we wish them the best. Next question. That would be his best bet, other than doing what he's doing right now.
Or if you think Putin is not operating in good faith, then I say I'm giving Vladimir Putin 2 weeks, or I say a week, to decide if he wants to come to the negotiating table. And if not, we are slapping tariffs. And
they don't care about that. It's Russia.
No,
the Russians have already endured every financial.
But I'm saying waiting 50 days.
What is it? Where does that come from?
It's not even a slap on the wrist.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't know if he knows what he believes in reality about this. I'm talking about Trump. So I don't know. It seemed like to me it'd be clearer to say we're not going to get involved, and that's the end of that. It's not a NATO country. I'm sorry these two countries are at war, but it's not our fight.
Yeah.
He would probably do better than that than what he's doing right now, seems to me. He's kind of setting himself. Of course, he can reverse on a dime.
Yes.
And he's good at that. Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Did we help clarify the situation at all, do you think, right there?
You know,
what's happening in the
Ukraine? I think we did explain why it's complicated.
I think if he wanted to walk the line a little bit, he could say, well, here, I'm making this great deal with NATO today. We're selling weapons. We're making all kinds of money. We're going to sell weapons to NATO, and we're going to leave the fight up to NATO and Ukraine against Putin.
Right.
But this 50-day ceasefire, that's not going to go anywhere.
No.
No, because, as I say, the Russians have already endured all the economic squeeze you can put on them.
Yes.
And you know what? I think Western Europe's buying oil from Putin, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think they're buying oil from... Remember
well, they have been, you know, natural gas and other energy products.
So they're kind of fueling.
What I was going to say is, if you give Russia 50 days, it almost sounds like, in parentheses,
right.
Putin, if you're going to finish it, you got 50 days right. to finish
yep.
it.
Yep.
Finish wiping them out. You got 50 days. I don't know. Mm. You're listening to today. Who's Marco Rubio? He's the one that has to worry about all this, right? Secretary of State.
Yo, in terms of...
Every day he gets up wondering, what's my boss going to say today? Huh? All right, you're listening to today's issue. Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, you probably have seen pictures of this ICE raid on the California pot farm.
Yes, we did, Ed.
I thought they were picking strawberries.
That's a song. Picking strawberries.
Strawberry
I'm just picking
fields.
Strawberries.
Yeah, these are mighty powerful strawberries.
Yes.
Yes. So anyway, it's California.
Strawberries are kind of like mushrooms, you know?
Yes. Anyway, there's the raid there late last week, and you had more than 300 arrested, what ICE is saying, illegal immigrants into this country. And there were more than a dozen kids, minors, they're calling them. And the Trump administration is saying that these kids perhaps were trafficked kids. In other words, they were on this farm, being forced to work on this farm as kids. Jessica Vaughn of the Center for Immigration Studies, she talked about the raid and the fact that the Biden administration was essentially labor trafficking in children, allowing these children to be used. Cut number four.
This is completely inappropriate and illegal. Under the Biden administration, hundreds of thousands of kids who crossed the border illegally were allowed to stay in the United States, and it became an incentive for smugglers and others to bring these kids in to work in slave-like conditions, not only at places like this marijuana grow facility, but at factories and car parts plants and other locations all over the country. And the Biden administration was basically facilitating this kind of labor trafficking where these kids ended up in slave-like conditions. And now the Trump administration is actively trying to find and rescue these kids who were taken advantage of and often abused.
Now, no surprise, I guess, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, basically is condemning the Trump administration, ICE, for these raids being carried out. They say you're scaring all of these people in California. In fact, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass says, we're going to help and give money to these illegals because they're really afraid to leave their houses now. So we're going to restart a program we had in place during COVID, and we're going to give money to these people so they can hide themselves in their houses and they don't have to go out and buy groceries. Here's L.A. Mayor Karen Bass. Cut two.
We also are going to have a reinstitution of the Angelino card, something that Mayor Garcetti started during COVID, that will actually provide cash assistance to people. Because, you know, you have people who don't want to leave their homes, who are not going to work, and they are in need of cash. We're organizing food deliveries. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we are having to do now to protect people from the federal government.
Now, there are some Democrats out there that say, you know, the last election that Trump won, one of the big reasons he won is that he was willing to take a tough stand, secure our border, and deport these illegals. But then you have California Democrats like Bass and Newsom who say, no, we're going to stand with the illegals.
This is just a difference of opinion, very consequential, but... The Republicans for the most part, believe in law and order. And you, if you're going to come to America, you come legally. Otherwise, if you come illegally, you can be deported. And furthermore, President Trump amped up everything by saying, not only can you be deported, we're going to find out who's here, especially the criminals, and we're going to find them and apprehend them and deport them or put them in prison or something like that. But the Democrats philosophically don't believe in deportation, okay? They really don't believe in borders. So I'm kind of torn on this one. I'm kind of like, hey, if California wants to welcome the world over there and pay for it all, let them go for it.
Yeah, but the problem is you can go into California, but you don't have to stay there.
I know, but we're trying to help clean up California's problem by we, the United States federal government. But then you say, well, yeah, because California is a state.
Yeah.
They're part of the union. And to your point, you could go to California and live there and then go anywhere else you wanted to in the country, I guess.
I just think the Democratic Party is making a huge, huge miscalculation. Mm-hmm. And this is to your point, Tim. You just sit there and you go, okay, well, let them make this huge political mistake, because there is no upside within your constituency, I don't think, for the Democratic Party, except for a small percentage of your voters, to sticking it out on this issue of illegal immigration. You have Mayor Bass saying, we're going to give food to illegals to protect them from the federal government. You probably have other members of your voting constituents who are American citizens saying, listen, we're struggling. Why aren't you giving us food? You're spending money on illegals, and you're not spending money on us. I think that's just going to drive more people away from the Democratic Party. I think this is moronic for them to stand on this issue, but that's where their Trump derangement.
It was a big issue in the election last fall, and the American people overall made it clear that they want law and order on the borders.
Yep. And in their cities.
Yes, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.